Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Happy Mouth Organics, offering a wide selection of organic ingredients such as spices, herbs, salts, peppers, cooking oils, sugar, tea, and more. The market is open Saturdays from 9 to 1 at the Rhodey.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Jobs with starting salaries of between $28,000 and $40,000 are awaiting Gateway graduates with associate degrees in accounting. Learn more about on-demand online classes. Visit gtc.edu.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm your co-moderator, Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus location from high atop the ultra-modern, cutting-edge bioscience building. Today, I am honored to introduce our listeners to my guest, Dr. Kim Hufford-Ackles, who is the director of Open Wings Learning Community in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where children soar. And as I do with all my guests, I am going to ask Dr. Ackles to describe her professional preparation, credentials, accomplishments to this point, and as well as the role education has played in her life and inspiring her to go in this direction. And again, good morning, Dr. Ackles.
Good morning. Well, really, I often try to defer talking about myself, but I'll tell you a little bit about.
Well, this is a community introduction in a way, and so I do want to indulge that a little bit because this is terribly important in terms of the members of our community and our listening audience gaining a sense of appreciation for the wonderfully talented people that we have that bring so much to the education community.
Well, thank you so much, Chuck, for that confidence. I am a graduate of Northwestern University. I started off there pursuing a life as a doctor. I was pre-med. Decided I didn't like blood, though, so that kind of took a turn.
That could be a disqualifier.
It just wasn't working for me, and I decided to I wanted to be a science teacher.
Okay.
So I pursued some credentials to a master's in education to start teaching science and had the opportunity to teach in some really elite private schools. And that actually fits in my journey a little bit. I think I've seen some of the best classrooms in the country. And it was really valuable classroom experience just being a teacher and teaching in some small, interesting schools. I decided, though, I was really interested more in policy making, education policy. And so I went back to Northwestern in grad school and finished my PhD there in human development and social policy. And I did a postdoc in teacher development. Okay. So I bleed purple.
Uh-huh.
Spent 9 years at Northwestern. It's a good place. And following that time, my colleagues were all going to university environments, but my heart really beats faster when I'm in an elementary school. And so I really pursued my heart and decided I wanted to take the road to becoming an administrator in an elementary school. So I started working for the Winnetka Public Schools, one of the best districts, I think, in the country.
And that's just up the road from Evanston.
Up the road from Evanston, a little bit south of here.
A little bit south of here, but very, very close to the Northwestern campus.
Right. And Winnetka's a progressive district, and it really shaped my ideas. But then, of course, as you know, your education and your professional journey gets shaped by your own kids.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely, yes.
So having my own four children really has affected and changed how I think about education, teaching, and learning. And after watching my fourth develop as a young child, I decided it was time to pursue my dreams of opening a school.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wow. And how many people, how exciting this is when how many people can take that leap and have that opportunity to be the teacher, to be the principal that they never had, that they wished they had had. Mm-hmm. And perhaps on behalf of their own children, well, wow, had this not happened, now I can not necessarily correct everything, but at least take things in a more productive direction that is a reflection or a measure of my own personality, my own values. And mm-hmm. being an authority in education policy must be terrifically rewarding, because you now combine both the administrative as well as that executive level of consideration. And I will let you speak to that, I promise, but I have to get out. What was your science content area? If you didn't like blood, I'm thinking probably not biology.
You know, it was neurobiology. I loved
okay.
it.
Okay. Like the nerves, but not the blood.
I loved it in a textbook.
Sure. Oh, okay.
But you know what? It served me well, because a lot of our students at Open Wings have neurodevelopmental issues. And,
yes.
So it
yes.
all kind of comes together in the end.
And we will talk about that, certainly, I promise, because that's the most engaging and I think is interesting part of the program, is who you speak to, who you market to, if I can use that, and who you provide access to. And certainly, I would add also that it's, as we will find out, it is not specifically for one kind of special student. It's for any student who truly will flourish in a more progressive environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some of the terminology that I want to make sure that I'm keying on and making sure that we're consistent with. But in terms of education policy, I don't want to drag this one out, but that is a huge part of your background. Is there a particular part of policy that you've been most active with or have contributed mostly to in terms of, is it on the national level? Is it regional? Is it everything? Have you talked to the president and said, this is what's got to be done, and that kind of thing?
Well, I think I want to just step back just for a minute, because developing my ideas about policymaking really started at Northwestern when I was in graduate school, and really started getting my head around constructivist approaches to education, and just the whole idea of having students wrestle with and make sense of content rather than being told the content.
Oh, okay, yes.
This was a big shift in my thinking, and the fact that everyone constructs knowledge from their experiences. So I'm kind of walking you through my journey of making sense of teaching and learning.
Please do, but let's also make sure that we make sense of what the learner needs.
Right.
Not just what society wants.
Right. My years with Winnetka Public Schools steeped my thinking in progressive education.
Okay, so now do you draw a line between constructivism and progressive, or progressivism, if we're looking at isms and ifs and so forth and so on?
Well, I think I think about constructivist ideas, and then how does that look like? What does that look like in the classroom?
Okay, so that kind of describes
like
the learner.
In a school.
Yes, okay.
How do you set a school up to be a progressive school, embracing constructivist thinking?
Okay.
So I just had a fabulous learning experience in the Winnetka Public Schools under Superintendent Becky Vanderbogert, and really wrapped my head around what progressive education could look like. And then we've adopted some of those elements into the design of Open Wings. For example, a child-centered school. What does that look like? Well, the curriculum is developmentally appropriate for the child, the
mm-hmm.
children. Children's interests are integrated in the curriculum. You can see that their interests are woven in. And then the whole idea of teaching for democracy. We have active participation by all citizens in our community. That's what we have at Open Wings. That's what we desire to have. And the community is a really important part of school. It's an extension of our classroom at Open Wings. And these are things that I pulled from my journey from the Winnetka Public Schools. And then one other thing that we really value and is a piece of progressive education is a multi-age classroom.
Uh-huh.
And that allows for having roles in your community, older kids helping younger kids, developing leadership. So these whole, all of these ideas about progressive education have come to live at Open Wings, have been part of the design of Open Wings. And then in terms of the education I've received from my own kids that have also informed my policy making is I have raised one child with ADHD and am raising one with autism. And both children are incredibly bright, but they don't learn in traditional ways.
Okay.
Then I think as an educator to the core, I've really fought hard for them. I've studied them. I know what they need. And often it's not what traditional classrooms offer. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's different because those students not only have their own individual learning style differences, but it's based on the way certainly they sense their world.
True.
And this can be said of all students.
True.
That everyone differs because of primarily, substantively, the way they sense their surroundings. And that builds and informs their experience.
Right.
So that as a student comes in, I'm not sure, and I'd love to get this guy as a guest at some point, Dr. Noel McInnes, who did a paper called The 12-Year Put-Down. In fact, he was going to be spending some time at Northwestern at one point, and I'm old and he's older than me. And but he talked about the perception that oftentimes in conventional classrooms, students are seen as simply incompetent models of what they were the year before, so that a ninth grader is merely an incompetent older eighth grader. And we've got to remediate and make them better, bring them to that ninth grade level, despite what the discipline may be or the class. And I think that what I observed as I visited Open Wings, you get this sense, I'm curious as to whether this has come up as a potential concern. Well, gee whiz, all this multi-age classroom stuff, they used to do that back in the 40s and the 30s. And I'm the first to say that my uncle, who just passed away, he was 95 years old. He was a coastal artilleryman when he was first commissioned in World War II, and the gobs of highly complex information they were taking to and having to compute in order to shoot down enemy aircraft, they were doing with slide rules. And after a while, they were able to throw the slide rules away because the numbers of targets that they were having to engage overwhelmed what they were able to compute in the slide rule. And because of their education in those two-room schoolhouses, you had the lower grades and the upper grades, the quality of that education enabled them to really knock down targets with one shot, and which is remarkable because they were cutting fuse and everything else into tremendously precise standards. How do we improve on that education system? And so if it's so progressive, well, isn't this just taking a walk back to the future in a way?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it, because progressive education was, well, John Dewey is known as the father of progressive education, and he was right before that time. And we feel like we've learned a lot from him that we want to revisit. He did a lot of things well. So I have, Chuck, several different beliefs that we feel like we've pulled out of this whole idea of progressive education that we have brought to the future, to the now.
Okay.
Children learn things that have meaning for them.
Absolutely. We remember what we value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as good an example of that as anyone, and I'm certainly that you are also, that if you were forced to sit and learn something about education and you're really interested in policy, you're going to sit glued to a policy discussion as opposed to some other part of theory, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like? We go on a lot of field experiences. We use content that's designed so that they're interested and they can enter in. We believe that children have an innate desire to learn. All children want to learn.
They're hungry and curious.
All children want to learn.
Yes, they sure do. At all ages.
Exactly. You know, they have an innate desire to learn with friends.
They certainly do. Yeah, we're social beings.
Mm-hmm. So these are all elements that we've pulled to the now. No two children are alike. we don't pay a lot of attention to labels, diagnoses. We study each student. We develop individual learning plans based on who that student is. Children need a sense of security to learn. They mm-hmm. need to feel safe. They need to feel like school is an extension of their home.
I think if they're respected, as I saw in mm-hmm. your camp or on your campus, that is the prerequisite or is truly the framework that drives that and ensures that.
Mm-hmm. There's a great deal of respect. The more interested they are in something, the more children are open themselves to learn. The more connections there are between what is learned and exposures to meaningful experiences, the more solid and lasting that learning is. So these are all mm-hmm. pieces that we feel like we're mm-hmm. pulling back from progressive education, early 20s mm-hmm. and 30s.
Aha. Uh-huh. It may have looked a little bit different in the school marm's classroom. Mm-hmm. But essentially, a lot of the dynamics were the same. I know that my mother and her brother, when they were at different levels, helped each other and reinforced spelling lists, for example.
Right.
Little things like that. And I'm sure that also there was a certain amount of very, very helpful enculturation that the older students could do and, you know, filter this out. Mm-hmm. This is what this really means, and don't get nervous about that. Just mm-hmm. concentrate on this. And they can speak to each other in terms of addressing the one common excitement and enthusiasm they have is this sense of inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to get PhD students interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And where have they lost it along the way? And I think that because of your experience and combining that with your focus and involvement in education policy,
mm-hmm.
that the future is very, very bright.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling for with people like you involved in this capacity to paint the picture for our listeners, and I do want to let you get going with the rest of the description because it's very, very engrossing, very intriguing. If someone was to be able to quickly say, oh, Dr. Ackles was on the radio the other day, and she talked about the progressive education at this school and so forth, is it fair to say, well, this is one of these rooms or schools without walls? Is it mm-hmm. Montessori? Is it something that people have a ready identification with?
Well, since Montessori education parallels it kind of under the same umbrella as progressive education, there are many similarities. Our students learn through projects. Their work is often multidisciplinary. Right now we're studying the oceans.
I saw that.
Right?
Yes,
so you'll see art projects around the ocean. You'll see math around the ocean. We measured blue whales the other day.
Sure.
So we're writing about the ocean. So that cuts across content areas, and that is connecting learning for our students.
Right.
In terms of what does that look like? Well, we have small groups of students working. It's like a beehive.
Yes.
There's a buzz all the time where little groups of students
But eventually those little projects get integrated into the larger framework. And
the students share them with each other.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then we have a really large staff team that's working all the time to take a student to the next place.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a Vygotsky thrown in there.
Yeah.
Stretching that student to the next challenging place while scaffolding that learning so the student will be successful with that.
Because each individual student's needs, since, as I can only imagine, a lot of the targets are going to be self-paced also. Depending on, in other words, no, you haven't gotten it by now, so you know, gets this grade or something like that, which I hate at any rate.
We're a non-graded school, so we're assessing in other ways all of the time. But I think that's where the magic of the teaching comes in, is to know where to go next with each student.
Correct.
And it's different for each one.
Right. And the staff are far more familiar with the needs and what a student's competencies and capabilities and strengths are than any standardized test could ever tell you.
Absolutely.
And I borrow that from the Finnish system, who
mm-hmm.
Have a remarkable record of their own worldwide. Now, I saw some students walking around. I believe some of what they were doing with the ocean project was they were measuring
Probably.
The blue whale. So they were putting information into their kinesthetic memory. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, I believe there was a project where they were walking the distance of how long a blue whale was. Mm-hmm. So at some point, they were making a very, very intrinsic connection that oftentimes a student sitting in a desk mm-hmm. memorizing and being fed information and computing numbers and other words don't always get the chance to put into their experiential framework.
Well, that's where we talk about constructivist learning. You need to experience it, mm-hmm. wrestle with it, make sense of it, embed it in your own learning. So not only were they walking out the outline and seeing what that felt like, they laid out across the gym the length of a blue whale. Those are things that they experience, they remember.
Right,
and, we've just found that the more modalities that we can incorporate, the deeper the learning is.
And neurons that are fired together are wired together.
Well said.
So that as I believe that, and I've used this example in the past as I've talked with other teachers, developed other leaders, and so forth in different capacities, that it's one thing for me to talk about a ring of keys, but if I'm showing it to them, jingling them, and maybe dropping them, wow, does that message get through?
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more lasting, besides meaningful. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a considerable amount of attention to emerging awareness of the complex, you know, wide diversity of disorders that make up a student body profile.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the opportunity to share with our listeners how their own impressions may be altered, given the advances the professional community has informed us about and disclosed to parents and students alike, as attendance options include what do we know, what we know about young learners. So, in other words, if someone was to make a determination at home and say, you know, my son or daughter is really, really struggling in this conventional school, whether it's an elementary school or middle school, I'll let you describe the age groups that you have, but why would they consider Open Wings, and what considerations would they want to make?
Well, at Open Wings, we are currently serving students that are ages 5 to 12.
Okay.
We have 15 students currently. We're in our fifth year, and we're growing about 5 or 6 students a year right now. Looking at next year, we found that's good pace for us.
Sure.
Our core belief is that we know each one very well as an individual. And so we feel like that's a pace that allows us to do that and allows us to incorporate students into our very tight-knit community that we've developed.
Because you've described your school as a learning community.
We are a learning community.
Mm-hmm.
We're all learning all the time. The
yes,
teachers,
absolutely.
The staff.
Learning goes both ways.
It sure does. We learn about the students. They learn about us. So we realize that there are spectrums of neurodevelopmental issues. We study the student. We try to figure out how each student learns best. We pay attention to their multiple intelligences. Students aren't strong in all modalities. No student is. None of us are, right? So we have to find their strengths. We work through kids' strengths. I think as parents worry about their students that are getting lost in the shuffle or they're living on the fringes in a more traditional setting, what Open Wings offers is a place where students are known as individuals, and their education is wrapped around who they are.
Critically important. This is Education Matters on WGTD Radio, 91.1 FM from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I am co-moderator of Education Matters, Chuck Wolbers, and today my guest is Dr. Kim Hufford-Ackles, who is the director of Open Wings Learning Community in Kenosha. We are discussing the progressive approach Open Wings takes to include and invite all students seeking to be successful in a setting that celebrates their need for a personalized learning experience given their unique learning style, gifts, and abilities, and certainly as we've had the opportunity to reinforce their strengths. Now, if we can shift gears just a little bit, I know you have an enormous event coming up in the community that I want so badly for our listening audience to be aware of. And if you could talk a little bit about what some of the upcoming events and promotional activity that the listening community might want to be aware of as the school year progresses. if we can shift gears to that just a little bit.
Sure. We're really excited about our upcoming event on February 27th called SOAR.
SOAR. And of course, this is part of your badge, your brand. This is Open Wings is where students soar and where children soar.
And we believe that's true. We see it every day.
Sure.
And so our parents are a force behind this particular event, and they have taken this idea of SOAR and named their event SOAR.
Okay.
It's going to be held at Parkside on February 27th. And the reason, Chuck, that we rely on events such as this is Open Wings is a nonprofit school. Nonprofit private school. We are serving students from regular families who are seeking an experience for their child to learn and grow and develop and thrive. And we find that our tuition covers about half what it costs us to educate these students.
Okay.
So we are always looking for ways to kind of
maximize the opportunities and maximize what resources exist to ensure mm-hmm. that your objectives are able to be met and that the individual students have that opportunity to thrive, not just survive through school.
Right. To thrive, you're right. And that takes money. And
yeah.
So we're raising money through this event. We have a 5K coming up in May at Lake Andrea.
Okay.
So people can watch for that and support that. We're excited to say that our SOAR event has sold out.
Oh, my goodness.
At Parkside. So we're thrilled about that. We do experience a lot of support for our school, and people love our students, and they're behind them, and they see them thriving and soaring. And so... They're doing everything they can to help our families keep their students with us.
So the event, and I have a little card here and so forth, on the 27th, is it something that someone could observe, or what will be going on at the event that is would be of interest to certainly our listening audience, any members of the public that might want to get a little bit more idea of how... you know, there were the old bumper stickers. Wouldn't it be great if schools had all the resources they needed and the Air Force had to have a cookie sale to build a bomber? And but how might our listeners better appreciate the need for a fundraising effort by a private school? That would be a difficult concept in most people's minds to wrap their head around, because the kids that go to Choate and places like that are children of the American aristocracy, the highest 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Well, our student body is quite a diverse mix.
Sure.
And we have, again, our students are from regular families. And when we opened Open Wings, we knew that these families were stretched already. Many of our families take their students for many other therapies. They're riding horses.
Uh-huh.
They're doing swim therapies. They're doing speech.
And one of my guests,
outside.
In fact, was I believe the director of the finest therapeutic riding hippotherapy program in this country, and that's Stephanie Kubarth at Midwest Therapeutic Riding Program, and just a tremendous educator herself. And you cannot imagine a greater support resource in the community.
That's right. And so our families are very involved with organizations such as Midwest Therapeutic, and so they need support keeping tuition at a place that will work for their families, and their
sure.
students need to stay with us. So we're working hard to keep our tuition low.
Yeah, I tend to think that the rosy forecasts about the economic picture are coming from people with, what do we call them? Oh, yeah, jobs. so that for the most part, I don't think that the depression that we currently experienced is quite over. We're not over that hump yet, and a lot of people would say, well, it was a recession by definition. I think that Johnny Carson put it best when he said that a recession is when your neighbors are out of a job. A depression is when you're out of a job.
Well said.
And but at any rate, just to go back and talk about the possibility, is there something to observe at this fundraiser? Will there be entertainment or the displays? And if you could just expand upon that a little bit, I'd be very, very grateful, as well as I'm sure
our
listeners.
We're really excited to have the John Crawford Jazz Band with us that
Wonderful.
Night.
Wonderful. Okay. Okay.
They'll be playing at the beginning, and we'll have a silent and live auction.
Okay.
Again, all proceeds supporting our students. And by the way, the money that we raise for our students really supports our staff team.
Sure.
We are heavy. That's where our budget goes.
Yes,
we really believe at Open Wings it's about relationships. We're a low-tech school because we believe teaching and learning happens with people, face-to-face.
Unfair advantage here because I have seen the and been on the ground. Tell us a little bit, and I won't do the spoiler alert, your staff, their credentials. This is very interesting.
Well, we have an amazing staff, and it's quite a large staff.
Mm-hmm.
But we are staffed with teachers, credentialed teachers.
Sure.
And then we have pretty amazing classroom associates that assist in the classroom who are themselves, many of them are teachers. We also have social workers on our staff.
Okay.
And a licensed professional counselor.
Wow.
We have a retired principal who is in charge of our literacy program, who's amazing. We have a fabulous business manager who's keeps our numbers in order.
Yep, yep.
And all of this is what makes our school successful. And there are other reasons. We serve our students, but also we're starting to demonstrate that we can fill a niche.
Uh-huh.
If you look broadly at what's happening in education, these are kids who are not kind of getting lost in the shuffle in traditional systems.
Yep.
That need a way to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've set out to demonstrate in a middle-sized city in America that we can do this. And we can do it with not a whole lot of funds. Of course, it takes money. Everything takes money,
sure.
Right?
That's reality.
We're showing that we can fill this hole that's developing as the population of complex kids grows.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that if done well, these students are going to thrive and become adults that are contributors to their communities. So we're really excited about that, and universities are starting to take note of the work that we're doing. We're doing some partnering with Northwestern School of Education. We're working with Carthage some, and the director of the teacher education program at Michigan State's paying us a visit next month, and we're going to do some partnering with that program.
Wonderful.
This is real progressive ed happening and meeting
very
the
collaborative
needs.
Because now you have two Big Ten schools instead of competing with each other.
Right.
Really contributing to this sense of community, which one sees at the school and on the campus. Are the credentials of the staff specifically supported in the special needs area?
Yes, by some.
Okay.
But we also have a belief that good education serves all kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely,
so,
yes.
The hallmark of special education is individualized instruction.
Correct.
And that's what you'll see at Open Wings.
And this is why I didn't know whether there was an overarching a requirement or objective to hire and staff people with special education backgrounds. And specifically my one, example I would have used is that when I sign off on my communication, it's, you know, all learners have special needs. And I say that to include the valedictorian who may not be getting a concept in calculus.
Right.
Who's the first you talk to? A special educator might just have to figure something out on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the students that are soaring through Open Wings, when they come to the end of their school now, and you look forward to the day that they will graduate and there will be a diploma, no doubt, do you see difficulties either before that time or after that time without grades?
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, a 12-year-old goes to Open Wings for a couple of years and then wants to finish in a conventional high school, they go to the conventional high school, talk to the principal, talk to the counselors and so forth. We have no grades here. We can't place them anywhere. Is there a difficulty with that, do you believe?
Well,
or do you foresee?
That brings up many thoughts. One, we are assessing, even though we're not giving grades, our students have lengthy progress reports in a narrative
fashion.
So
they're responding to comments in a lot of cases on papers and projects and so forth.
Right, but we are in conference season right now. Our teachers are writing multi-page progress reports on each student,
mm-hmm.
Which demonstrate the lengths we go to know each student, and the way that we assess through observation and interview and many different, depending on the student, we can assess in different ways.
So a tremendous amount of emphasis and time with formative assessments.
That's correct.
Okay.
When you think about students leaving Open Wings one day, I believe they're going to leave confident learners. I believe they're going to leave us knowing what their learning style is and how to advocate for themselves in another setting.
And then apply that in a generative sense.
Correct.
Also. So that I've always thought that personally, if I was to run the school, the science curriculum would be made up of elements of flight. I have a feeling that if you can learn how to fly, you can pretty well apply science to anything you see, even for the first time, and you would probably knock the ACT off the charts or something of that nature.
Now, see, you'd be a good Open Wings student because we could teach you anything through flight.
Well, yeah, and of course, yes, we would be soaring. That would be for sure. So there will be some education, entertainment, I should say, and a demonstration of projects and so
Are
forth.
Are we back at, to the SOAR event?
If we do go back to the SOAR event. I just wanted to make sure that we did connect the dots on that, so to speak, before going to another part of the discussion as this very, very engaging and intriguing interview starts to wind down, because I'm going to have a projection guy going over here saying, cut it. I pride myself with thinking, at least, that some of our discussions and some of the interviews that I've been able to do and involve people in take a life of their own, and certainly can't necessarily always be stuffed in one little box. But for the SOAR event, there is obviously some entertainment. Will there be demonstrations of student projects, and is a silent auction all donations, or is it these are projects, art projects, for example, that the students have worked on, and yes, I can put a bid on that and so forth?
Well, one of the things that we're focusing on for this event in our auction is auctioning off experiences.
Okay.
Like a day mm-hmm. with the firefighters.
Uh-huh.
And a day with a baker, and things like that, because that's the lifeblood of Open Wings. We're
sure.
an experiential learning environment. So, of course, we're carrying that into our fundraiser because it's who we are. I wanted to mention, so we have the John Crawford Jazz Band, but also Weird Science is playing at the end of the night.
Okay.
And I believe tickets are available just to come see that band at the end if anybody's interested.
Sure.
And I just want to mention, too, that to know more about our school, since that tickets are sold out for that dinner, we have a website, openwingslearning.org, and a Facebook page, too. So we welcome people looking into
to
what
visit
we're about.
On Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just do something like Open Wings
Open
Kenosha?
Open Wings
or?
2012.
Okay. Open Wings 2012.
That's the year we opened.
Okay. And to call for information, we can certainly wrap this up later, but we may as well mention it now since we're in the contact mode. The number at the school, is that a safe and recommended way of getting in contact?
Yep, that would be just fine. Our number is 262-697-7744.
So the last four I can remember, it's just getting that prefix out of there, and then 7744, 697-7744. Well, now, one of the questions that I also wanted to make sure that our listening audience was aware of, as we have just a couple minutes to get ready to wrap up here. If you could orient our listeners to a typical school day schedule at Open Wings, I think that'd be extremely helpful. And I'm sure we'll get a warning, and as we tend to wind down here, I think would be, again, very instructive to be aware of that at this time.
Well, our day starts off with Spark in the morning, which is kind of an opportunity to warm up our bodies and our nervous systems and get ready to learn.
Okay.
From there, we go into a morning meeting. And lots of schools have morning meetings, but it's really core to who we are because that's a time for our community to be together.
But this is a preparation for the workplace and the greater community.
Uh-huh.
Let's face it, that's how we do things. Even the mayor gets people together before the big meeting and talks about things to prepare.
Right, and since we're a community of learners and we're mixed age, that's an opportunity to all be together and celebrate what's going on with kids and recognize and allow kids to
And a conspicuous focus on community.
That's right, because from there we kind of branch out into our smaller learning groups. One thing that's really interesting about our morning is it's very academic focused, but we've carved out a two-hour literacy block. And that's there are a lot of things going away, Chuck, in traditional schools. So we are protecting them because we believe that many children need that kind of opportunity. And so we believe they learn in this extended, connected way when they don't have interruptions. And our teachers get in and read and write with the kids. We're learning alongside them all the time.
Yes.
And talking about our own thinking and our own learning.
And that's called modeling.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We are big on that.
Yes.
Math's taught in a similar fashion in small groups. We do a lot of visual work with math to support some difficult math thinking. Our afternoons are made up of social studies and science, often connected under our big themes, like rainforest, oceans. We also have art, dance, music, Tai Chi, these wonderful opportunities for students.
Wonderful, sure.
But also to kind of continue on that theme of experiential learning, we bring in a lot of community visitors.
Okay. Yep.
And I mentioned earlier we do a lot of field experiences in the community. We make several visits to Anton's to see how the plants are doing and where they are in their cycles. We go to the post office, the fire department. Once a week we go to the library and check out
And I would
books.
Even promote at this point Gateway Technical College, who has a tremendous horticulture program and a lot of people there that even though they're teaching, adults and adult learners and so forth primarily, and certainly in the more vocational setting, they just love kids. And I think this would be a huge break and something that the students would benefit from very, very richly.
Right. And since we are out about once a week, we take about 25 field experience trips a year. We'll try and look into that one, Chuck. Thank you. But we know that as the arts and music are being cut from many school districts around the country, students are lost in the shuffle.
That's true.
There are a lot of students that benefit from programs.
Their ability to perceive and create is sometimes often and unfortunately overwhelmed by the need to hit targets of certain kinds of accomplishments that we'd ordinarily see in the standardized tests and so forth, as we mentioned earlier.
So we've been able to sidestep that kind of pressure so we can really focus on learning and gains.
My goodness, yes, well, are there certainly you've mentioned a number of activities that I would be proud of alone, but are there any that are activities of which you're especially compelled to mention or truly excited about in either the academic, athletic, or even performing arts?
They're all wonderful.
They're all wonderful. So we couldn't target one.
They are. We
with good reason.
One thing that's really special about our school, since we're small, we do a lot of things with our siblings. We bring siblings in, and we have a great time with, for instance, our holiday concert, bringing our siblings in to sing
wonderful.
With us.
Good.
But our open wing students are the stars.
That's and they soar all the way to the stars.
And you know what? Our students are really happy. They don't want weekends. They don't want vacations. They want to be together and they want to be learning in community.
Wow, a lot different than school.
They love their school, and I'm really proud of them.
As well, you should be. This has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College campus in Kenosha, Wisconsin. My guest today has been Dr. Kim Hufford Ackles. She's the director of Open Wings Learning Community in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where children soar. We've been discussing her role in the progressive approach Open Wings takes to include all and invite all students seeking to be successful in a setting that celebrates their need for a personalized learning experience, which capitalizes upon their unique learning style, gifts, and abilities. We're grateful to Dr. Ackles for her time this morning and her innovative, energetic efforts. They reflect a refreshing commitment to student achievement through learning experiences that showcase their naturally enthusiastic sense of inquiry because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild's